Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everybody here on this holiday weekend. And don't you love the flags that are out here, where they decorate? It's always so nice to see all that out here. So, and they left it today. That was great. All right, let's begin our service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so much to give you thanks for this morning. We're thankful for this country. We're thankful for those who are on our prayer list who have had their prayers answered. We pray for those still who are in need. We know that you'll be with them and give them comfort and support for whatever they need for the coming days. We would ask that you bless everyone who is here this morning and watch over those who are gone and bring them back safely. Make us listen to Bruce this morning as he brings the message, and may it be a particular blessing to all of us. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. Slides. We're going to show you some slides about the development of our national anthem and how it progressed through the ages and how the changes that were made to for it to become the Star Spangled Banner that we know today. Pledge of Allegiance. So it was, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. No. That was in 1892. Next slide. Then from 92 to 23, they add for my flag, they change it to the republic for which it stands. Next slide. Then I pledge allegiance to the flag of, and then the United States was added. Next, of America was added in 54. 24. And then under God was added in 1954 by a declaration of President Eisenhower. So if we can all stand and pledge allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing for the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Peak. I've never done that before. Most of you probably already know this, but I didn't know that the America the Beautiful was written on the top of Pikes Peak. So that is really cool.
Is great.
We stand today as our forefathers have stood before you in times gone by, celebrating our history and reveling in all the great things that our country has achieved. On this day, we rejoice in the favor you have graciously given us. We thank you for the blessings of liberty, for this generation and for the generations to come. We thank you for our independence, peace, and for all those who have bravely given their lives in the deference of freedom and justice. We thank you that your gracious and provident hand has given us so much. Yet, as a nation and people, we have not always chosen the right way. We ask you to forgive us for these times. On this day, we commit ourselves to wholeheartedly honoring and serving you. With everything that we are, we lay our lives before you. Make us a generous people, a holy nation, a people set aside to love you forever. For the sake of the land of the brave and free and the peoples and nations of this world, today we do not presume your grace for our country. Our land is in need of you. Our people are in need of you. Our industry and business is in need of you. May we look only to you, the Independence Day dependent on you. Please come now by your gracious Holy Spirit and breathe new life into the sinews of this nation. May justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream, until the whole of our country is covered with your glory, and as the waters cover the sea. We ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and for all eternity. Amen.
Scripture today is Romans 15, 30 through 33. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem shall be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy and with the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Let's join in singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all the virtues here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. You may be seated. We thank you, Lord, for our blessings. We give back part of our blessings for the support of our church here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The trumpet that shall never shall retreat. He has lifted the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory,
hear the trumpet sound, the Lord's return is near.
There are still so many people lost, his message they must hear. Father, give us one more moment, and one more day, just one more year, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Some enthusiasm, talk to these guys. Thank you very much. That was great. That was great. You know, we are a praying congregation, and we see this all the time. And Romans, the book of Romans that we're looking at this summer, really attests to that. But we can pray more. It never can be too much. This is simple, true, and undeniable. Sometimes we need instructions on how to pray. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes prayer surprises you. There's a Christian lady that lived next door to an atheist. Every day the lady prayed, and the atheist guy could hear her. And he thought to herself, she's really crazy, praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know there isn't a God? Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her and say, lady, why do you pray all the time? Do you know there's no God? You know there's no God. But she kept on praying and praying. And one day she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord for groceries, explaining the situation to God, saying, God, please, I need some groceries. As usual, the atheist next door heard her. He thought to himself, I'm going to teach her a lesson. I'll fix her. So he went to the grocery store and bought a whole bunch of groceries and sat them on her front porch, rang the doorbell, and hid in the bushes to see what would happen. So she went outside, she saw the groceries, and she began to praise the Lord, saying, thank goodness for answered prayer. And the atheist then jumped out of the bushes and said, you crazy old lady, God didn't buy you those groceries, I bought you the groceries. Well, she started running down the street saying, praise God, he took care of me. But she said, the atheist caught up with her and said, What's your problem? And she said, well, I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries. And she looked him straight in the eye and said, but I didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for them. Thank you to Google for that joke. When you pray, you don't need certain words. You don't have to have a certain posture. You don't have to go into a certain room or a certain building. Just where you are is great. I pray often, walking the dog, driving the car, in between golf shots. When you experience a person who's really in prayer, you know it. You know that you can feel it. You can see a person who's really gripped and is living a prayer life. What happens to people who pray like that? It brings God into your life. Prayer brings God into your life because he loves to communicate with you. He loves to hear you. What extraordinary freedom and earnestness we can have when we have prayer in our life building us up. God can hear even the smallest little voice. You don't have to shout and yell. God can hear you. He's got good hearing. You don't have to turn off his headsets. Prayer leads you to find mercy and grace in the time of need. How many here are in time of need? I don't need to have a show of hands. As I look around, I see hope, a lack of hope. I see desperation. I see hopelessness in the people that we know, and we know everybody so well. But I can think back to the times when I have experienced the presence of God in an unusual way, and I've been changed and set free by the Lord. Well, it's against this background that we find the text both instruction and encouragement. In Romans 15, we come to Paul's prayer request. Paul, the greatest apostle of all time. Not his prayer, but his prayer request. Now, he's asking the Roman Christians. He hasn't even been to Rome yet. He writes his letter, this letter of Romans to the Romans before he gets there. And then he asks for encouragement why we should pray. And this is from Peterson's translation of the Message. And if you haven't read the Bible, this is a good way to get started with Peterson's translation of the Message. He says, I have one request, dear friends. Pray for me. Pray strenuously with and for me to God the Father through the power of our Master Jesus, through the love of the Spirit, that I will be delivered from the lion's den of unbelievers in Judea. Pray also that my relief offering to the Jerusalem believers will be accepted in the spirit which is given, Then, God willing, I'll be on my way to you with a light and eager heart, looking forward to being refreshed in your company. God's peace be with all of you. Amen. So he's saying to the church in Rome, I'm really looking forward to being with you, but I need your prayers. Well, the two things that strike me when I read the words. First of all, how personal it is. Six times in this section he says, I, referring to me and my and I. How honest he is. He says, he's speaking openly about unbelievers in Judea. He's saying, these people have not heard and they don't believe. And very often they harassed him and accused him, just like that lady with the groceries. Rather than pretending he was doing fine, he bares his soul and says, I need help. I need help. How often do we respond when someone says to you by saying, all is just fine. All is just, it's all okay. All is just fine. I've heard a description of the word fine, F-I-N-E. Maybe some of you heard this before. Take the word and break it down into the four letters. F, fine, frantic, I, insecure, N, neurotic, and E, emotional. That's when a lady says to you, I'm fine. She's frantic, insecure, neurotic, and emotional, right? But it's very hard to bear your soul to others, isn't it? Because you're afraid of what's going to come back at you, which happens so many times. Well, let's look at three lasting truths in this 21st century. Prayer, number one, entails agony. You know, Paul says, strive together with me. He uses the Greek with the word, which means agony. Sometimes prayer is difficult. Prayer can be agony. The Bible never says prayer is fun, but it's tough. It can be very hard. When was the last time you agonized in prayer? When was the last time you wrestled in prayer? Maybe this morning. Maybe right now. When was the last time you shed tears in prayer? I know many, many of you here are doing that. You'll discover what agony means when you have a sick grandchildren staying with you overnight and it's midnight and then you can't reach the doctor. You'll learn about agony in prayer when your marriage is on the rocks. You'll know how to agonize in prayer when a person is in your who you love is wheeled away for a life-saving surgery. Well, Time magazine a while back carried a major report on the private letters of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, a saint, but she had her dark times. It turns out that she was even doubting the existence of God, but she continued to work, and she continued to pray. And thinking about this, I'm surprised only that she suffered such darkness amid the good works that she was doing. But she had a dark side of her soul, which is called agony. Well, stories like Mother Teresa reflect the fact that sometimes when you look at a person, you don't know really what's going on, do you? Things can really surprise you. The perfect families, the perfect organizations, the perfect people. No one gets a free pass through life. It's always difficult. Jesus even said, you are going to have tough times. It's not everything is fine. You're going to have tough times. My struggles with life are to deal with the inequities of life. Well, one of the members of our church this morning came up to me and said, after I talked about love last week, he said, how can you love Muslim radicals who threw acid in the eyes of children? How can you love them? Good question. Hard question. How can you love the Nazis who killed millions of Jews? Hard question. Hard question. But remember that Jesus, the Lord of the universe, who could have stopped his crucifixion, on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is love in action, and you can have love in action too, because you're not going to change anybody with hate. You're going to change people by love. We are to love all sinners, no matter who they are, because they desperately need his love, and we can bring that to them. Even the most notable Christians have times of doubt, fear, frustration, anger, discouragement. We all do. I do. Mother Teresa's letters and Paul's letters remind us that our heroes in the faith don't always have an easy time of it. Sometimes they really struggle hard. Well, secondly, prayer promotes unity. Paul says, join me in the struggle as you pray for me. They were joined together in unity through prayer. And we can join in unity through prayer, through helping people in Thailand and Denmark and Monaco, Turkey, the Seychelles, Paraguay, even the islands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. By prayer, we reach out and touch people. And that's why we have prayer pillows. That's why we pray for all people all over the world. Well, there's another more personal side to this. 12 years ago, God led us, and I refer to us as Betty and myself, in a new direction. Some of you have heard this story, but many of you have not because you're new. Betty and I were living in southeast Denver, having a very bad experience in the community in which we lived. Our business life was not doing well. We had a huge financial crisis, but we emerged damaged, hurt, and discouraged. For some reason, I think it was God leading us, I said to Betty, I think we should move out of this community. She had just finished being president of the HOA and had a very thankless job. So we, or rather I, looked all over and said, Betty, let's look at Heritage Eagle Bend. And she says to me in her humorous way, what is a Heritage Eagle Bend? So Betty, emotionally kicking and screaming, we looked at this community and a couple of others. Now, recognizing the financial picture was not good, we said, well, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but we had little hope in obtaining a mortgage. And driving around, we saw this one house for sale, and it was a magnificent house that many of you have been in. And she said, I'll go to the owner, the realtor, and see what we can do. And she said, as long as we can sign a contract that we can back out of, it'll be fine. So the house was all framed out, but we were afraid that all the finishes were already ordered, but she found out that they were not. So we were able to pick out everything we wanted, and because they want us to really buy this house, we got all kinds of great incentives, but we didn't have a mortgage. So we prayed. Well, all this could go down the drain in an instant. We begged God, and we were approved. And we had no idea why this happened, because we shouldn't have been. And here we are in this community, and God let us lay fallow for about 2 years, and then in September, in the fall of 2006, a group of ladies, I think Bonnie's the only one who is here today who is in that group, right, Bonnie? And Lucille Franson, who is home, she's getting older, took one of Patty Tannis' Newsy Notes back. She used to have this blog. In those days, we didn't know what a blog was, but she was one of the first persons doing a blog. And they wrote, why can't we have a church here? And Betty saw this Newsy Notes from Patty Tannis. And then 3 months later, we had a church. I don't let things die under my feet. I get things done. So she said to me, look at this. And we have our church, and here we are today. How good is that? We have been so blessed by seeing all these faces every Sunday. What a change in our life. And we never knew why this was happening. We really don't know. Prayer builds unity among people because it joins hearts together in the greatest cause of all, the global cause of Jesus Christ. Well, then Paul in the third section says, prayer advances ministry. He asked for deliverance from his foes, which we do all the time. When we moved into this community, when we started this church, there were so many people against the church, and we prayed and got deliverance from our foes. Many of us see these signs that say prayer changes things. Prayer changes things, and the things that change us mostly is us when we pray. In one sense, that's a true thing. Prayer humbles us, stretches us, shapes us, encourages us, challenges us, deepens us, leads us along the pathway of spiritual growth. Look at what Paul says. If you pray for me, I will be delivered from spiritual opposition. I will be welcomed by the saints in Jerusalem. I will be able to visit you in Rome because I need your prayers. Don't pass over what Paul says. He said, pray for me so that something can happen. When you pray to God, say, I pray so that things will happen, so that I will be strong in the word of God, so that I will be faithful to the end, so that God will be glorified. Paul says it over and over again. And when he prays, he said, God, please do this so that I can have hope, I can have faith, I can have patience, I can be holy. We add the so that to our petitions that helps us understand what's going to happen in our lives. It's very challenging. The only true power that we have is the power of prayer. Everything else falls far short. By prayer, it says all things are possible. And we wonder. Sometimes we pray and answers don't come right now because it's God's time and not ours. If we want to see the church move forward and the United States of America become again a Christian nation, which it is not at this time, it is so horrible. We have no other secret. If we don't pray, we have no plan B. Prayer is plan A, B, and Z. Do not neglect the enormous world-changing power that God has placed in your hands to change this world, to change our nation. We can change the course of history. By prayer, you can help missionaries in distant lands, restrain the work of evildoers, promote the spread of the gospel, make our nation a Christian nation again. Great doors are open before us. We need to pray. Great challenges face us. We need to pray. Great needs rise in our path, so pray. All these things are possible if we say, so Lord, do whatever it takes, but please, O Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father,
Creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
preparation for communion. Let's sing, Come Share the Lord.
Sunday, we ask you to come, share the bread, drink the wine, share the Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room and had the Passover supper with them. He took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, also after they finished eating, he took the cup. And when he blessed it, he said, this is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. So let us continue by praying together his prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
Hey, well, let's close our service by singing a song for the nations. Just a word to the wise, the first measure goes real fast. You gotta get it out there quick.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.